ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News breakdown.
More time for the Nightlife News Breakdown. And the family of an Australian woman killed in an apparent Israeli airstrike in central Gaza says they are deeply mourning the news. As you might expect, Zomi Frankum was among seven aid workers killed after delivering food. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said Australia expects full accountability for the deaths. This is what he said on ABC television tonight.
Well, we are awaiting further details to occur. We have, of course, contacted and spoken with the Israeli government, and we expect full accountability for this tragedy. To have aid workers, not just from Australia but other nations as well, going about their business of assisting in the most humanitarian way their fellow global citizens, in this case the people of Gaza, who are suffering from incredible deprivation, to have them killed in this way is completely unacceptable. The targeting of these people is just a tragedy.
Yeah, the family says she was brave and beloved and was killed doing the work she loves. Israel says it's conducting a, quote, thorough review of the incident. Well, joining us for Nightlife News Breakdown is Karen Middleton, Guardian Australia's political editor. Karen, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks, Phil.
Just a dreadful, dreadful incident. The Prime Minister sounding, rightfully, you'd think, very angry. What's the latest?
Well, we understand that the government is seeking answers from Israel. We know the Australian government has called in the Israeli ambassador, which is a diplomatic process that is used to express the extreme displeasure at an incident that occurs like this. The Prime Minister revealed tonight that he has also tried to contact and has sought a conversation with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and that Penny Wong has sought conversations with her Israeli counterpart. So the government is very much demanding answers from Israel here. It's interesting, I think, your Prime Minister clearly said it was unacceptable, and he said that several times, but it's interesting, Phil, I think he's choosing his words carefully, and he's talking about it as a tragedy. Now, it is a tragedy, there's no question, but it's interesting to me that he's not using stronger language than that. You could call it an atrocity, frankly.
You could easily call it that, couldn't you? Yeah.
But he's been calling it very carefully a tragedy. Penny Wong, the foreign minister, put a statement out tonight, and her language was a little bit stronger in her written statement. She also said it was unacceptable, but she also called it outrageous. And so I think there's obviously an intent by the government to tread carefully here, to make sure it has all the information, but to press a point with Israel, both publicly and probably even more firmly in private, that this is unacceptable and that it cannot attack aid workers in this manner. And of course there's many questions being asked about the way the whole conflict is continuing in Gaza and the objectives of Israel there. So, you know, it's after the release of hostages. It doesn't want Hamas to be able to operate in the manner that it did in those terrible events of October 7. But there's a huge question about the humanitarian impact on civilians now in Gaza. And I think governments around the world are getting increasingly distressed when they see incidents like this.
Oh, it's just completely unacceptable. Exactly. I mean, Anthony Albanese's paid tribute to Zomi Frankum in these terms.
This is someone who volunteered in Australia to help people during the bushfires. This is someone who was volunteering overseas to provide aid through this charity for people who are suffering tremendous deprivation in Gaza. And this is just completely unacceptable.
Well, you'd think that Israel is doing itself no favours with this sort of behaviour. Prime Minister Netanyahu's also under a lot of pressure now at home. There have been big demonstrations. He's under a lot of pressure to call an election, and the growing death toll is seeing much criticism of the tactics employed by the Israeli Defence Force, such as this from the head of the Australian Council for International Development, Mark Purcell.
The deliberate use of starving civilian populations as a tactic of warfare. This should not be allowed in by any rules of the laws of war. It should not be allowed by any measure of common decency. I think it's confronting to us as humans.
It'd be interesting, Karen, to see what the Israeli response is to the Australian government's calls for an explanation, I imagine.
Well, indeed, and this is a, you know, this is a terrible move. If indeed it is confirmed that it was Israel, it seems to be accepted that it was, although as I understand it, as of tonight, we haven't heard yet formal confirmation from the Israeli end that it was the Israeli Defence Force. But it doesn't do anything to win their support, win them support from countries that have previously endorse their right to defend themselves when you cannot target in a manner that is really going after the people that you say are responsible and that you're chasing. There's already the question, as we've said, about the targeting of civilians in Gaza and, you know, where the line should be about when you're attacking Hamas and when you're attacking just innocent civilians and destroying the population. So there are plenty of questions for Israel. People are extremely distressed at seeing this conflict go on and on, and incidents like this do nothing to lessen that distress and that pressure.
Indeed they don't. Look, to the Learman trial, this is the defamation claim brought by a former Liberal staffer, Bruce Learman. The judge in the case, Justice Michael Lee, it's a defamation action brought by Bruce Learman against Channel 10. The federal court this afternoon was asked by Network 10 to reopen the case. The Network 10 say, we want to reopen our defence case. Now, Justice Michael Lee had listed the matter for judgment on Thursday at 10 in the morning. So this was very late in the day. As we know, the case is involved, as I said, of Learman suing the network. He's also suing journalist Lisa Wilkinson over that interview in which Brittany Higgins detailed her rape allegation. The judge has insisted on reading the explosive affidavit. There's no other word to describe it, I think. Sworn by an ex-Spotlight producer. That's a program on Channel 7, Taylor Auerbach, before then agreeing to reopen the case. Karen, where are we at? Because Justice Lee has agreed to reopen the defence case for Channel 10. What are Channel 10's what are they alleging here?
Well, this, we're just when we think this whole issue cannot get any more extraordinary, Phil, it is yet another like incredible development this afternoon. As you say, it was just about to be, there was a judgment about to be delivered in 48 hours, and now we're having the case reopened. What Channel 10 allege is that Taylor Auerbach, who used to work as a producer on the Channel 7 Spotlight program, has evidence that, or will allege, that Bruce Learman provided information to Channel 7 that was a sort of featured in that program. Now, there's information that featured in that program that was included in a brief of evidence that the police put together for the criminal trial that Bruce Learman faced back in 2022. Now, remember that trial collapsed when there was juror misconduct. He was never had any findings against him. And in fact, it was never retried because of concerns about Brittany Higgins' mental health. And that was the trial in which he was accused of raping his former colleague, Brittany Higgins. And he's always denied that. So here we are now in this situation where this producer from Channel 7 is alleging that, in fact, Bruce Learman provided material to Channel 7 that was the subject of a court brief that wasn't, some of which wasn't tendered into evidence. Now, there are laws about that and rules about that of court procedure. If you are given access to information that's part of a brief like that for the purposes of one legal proceeding, it can't be used for another purpose. So it's a serious thing if somebody has divulged this information. And Bruce Learman told the court in this defamation trial that he did not. So he has given evidence under oath that he didn't provide it, and now we have this producer from Channel 7 alleging that he did. So that's a problem that has to be resolved in further hearing in the court. And now Justice Lee will hear that extra evidence. Taylor Auerbach, who has come forward literally in the last few days after what seems to be a fairly serious falling out with his former colleagues at Channel 7. He left Channel 7. There's been a whole other sequence of events involving one of his colleagues at Channel 7, almost getting a job with the New South Wales Police Commissioner, and they're not. There have been stories back and forth about the kinds of incentives that may have allegedly been offered to Bruce Learman to give the story to Channel 7. And now Taylor Auerbach has sworn and signed an affidavit and will give evidence in the court. He's currently in New Zealand, but flying back from New Zealand, and is now going to be required to appear in the court tomorrow afternoon. So
how long is that hearing expected to take? Do we know?
Well, we don't, except that Justice Lee said in this evening when he heard the application from Channel 10 that he wouldn't be able to make his judgment on Thursday as planned, but he anticipated he should be able to make it next week. Now, we don't know whether it'll be one day's hearing. There will have to be, it seems, cross-examination of the new witness. Whether anything else has to be revised isn't clear. There are pages, more than 2,000 pages of text messages that are also the subject of this, because there were personal messages between Brittany Higgins and a former boyfriend that were also, it seems, allegedly provided to Channel 7 by someone. So there's a bit of material to get through. And Mr. Lehrman's lawyer, Matthew Richardson, said in the court today that, you know, that they needed time to go through and prepare their case. They couldn't be expected to just jump up and deal with these new allegations on the spot. So it could take a number of days, but the judge seems to think he'll be in a position to hand down his verdict. Whether it's amended or not, we don't know what he's found as of now, but he will hear the extra evidence and rule next week.
But in essence, in legal terms, Channel 10 is alleging that Bruce Lehrman lied when he earlier told the court that he hadn't given Seven any further information other than the, and 10 are saying, yes, you did. You gave them a whole lot of stuff which you shouldn't have given them. Therefore, you lied. Right. Therefore, that goes to your credibility, and therefore that should be taken into account.
Correct. They're making two allegations in relation to that. One, that it goes to his credibility and that then goes to his credibility in the entire case.
Sure.
Because if you can't believe one thing, then what else can't you believe? But also they say in the event that there was a finding in his favour, it goes to the question of damages. And they made the point that it should reduce any damages that might be found to be due to him to the absolute minimum. In fact, there was a discussion about that the absolute minimum really was about 5 cents. So, you know, there is now a discussion on both fronts. How much can he be believed and how much is he due if he does win?
And remember, all of this came out of an appointment announced as a new media advisor to the New South Wales Police Commissioner. And you can trace a line back to this particular proceeding. The whole thing is a vortex of troubles,
that's right,
which has sucked a lot of people into it anyway.
Taylor Auerbach's former colleague Steve Jackson was the man
who
was given that job, and it seems that has sparked a public spat between the two of them, and then a number of allegations back and forth that has drawn this whole Lehrman interview that Spotlight did, this sort of highly sensational, really, interview that Spotlight program did with Bruce Lehrman last year, where a whole lot of allegations were made and a lot of vision video and, you know, new material emerged that hadn't been in the public domain before. So, it's got very murky, and we're now going to hear it and see it play out in court.
All right. Watch the space. Keep your seatbelts tightened, I would think. Now, politicians have their pay docked or be even suspended from federal parliament, heaven forbid, once a new, listen to this and don't laugh, misconduct commission for federal MPs and parliamentary staff is up and running. A group of pollies from across federal parliament have been working to design a new system, which the government says will work to lift standards in federal politics. The idea is that there'll be a new agency and it'll be up and running by October, subject to parliamentary approval, of course. And there are new draft details of potential punishments being leaked to the media, something that Finance Minister Katie Gallagher said was unfortunate, but she confirmed that the idea of sanctions for bad behaviour by politicians in Parliament is a real one.
We have been trying to progress this across the Parliament. It's been shared with the media, which is fine. We deal with that. But yes, there will be sanctions imposed through this independent commission. That's the whole point of it.
Sanctions, Karen? Docking pay? Pollies are never going to vote for this, are they?
Well,
I mean, on either side.
Well, this is the problem, Phil. Now this issue is not unconnected to the one we were just talking about, in the sense that those allegations that Brittany Higgins made, unproven as they are, caused an entire conversation, you'll remember, about how Parliament House operates, about the culture in Parliament House, about drinking late at night, and then ultimately that led to a conversation about the behaviour of politicians. And the upshot of all of that we saw was the Jenkins inquiry into behaviour in parliamentary workplaces, and these new proposed standards are the result of that and this new commission. Now, everyone in the building, it seems, agrees that things need to change, the standards need to be raised, there does need to be some more formal arrangement for all of this. And a number of representatives of various parties and independents have been working on this for more than a year, trying to reach agreement, firstly on what the standards should be, what constitutes a breach, and then what the penalty should be. And amazingly, Phil, that's where they get stuck.
Because, well, blow me down, Karen.
Blow me down. And, yeah, I know, astonishing that when it comes to the crunch and the suggestion is that people might be punished for breaching certain standards in the building, people start to get nervous, and those representing political parties get a little worried about what that could mean for their colleagues, and we just haven't seen a resolution. So this has gone around and around. There is goodwill, there is an intention, we are told, to reach agreement, and this proposal of the 5% pay docking and perhaps other sanctions is contained in an exposure draft of the proposed standards and the, you know, infrastructure for the new commission that they are now considering. But the deadline was meant to be October, as you said, for setting this whole thing up and having it operating. And time is ticking, and we still just can't quite nail down, it seems, the collective we, that is, men, our political leaders, just what is going to happen, what might be a standard that is punishable, whether, for example, consumption of alcohol and behaviours that flow from that is going to be included, or whether alcohol will be dealt with a separate kind of code of behaviours, and this will deal with serious behaviour like sexual assault, violence, harassment, bullying, discrimination, that kind of thing. But we're still seeing them go around in circles, and we haven't quite got to the crunch yet.
Just finally, before we go, and briefly, Greg Combey, now he's a former Labor climate change and industry minister. He rose to national prominence first as ACTU leader, of course. He's about to become chairman of the $212 billion Future Fund, a national body. He spoke at the press club today, urging the Albanese government to use the upcoming budget to make significant direct investments in renewable energy and grid projects. What was he saying?
Well, they're talking about billions of dollars in investments, Phil, towards net zero. This really is about the pathway to getting there. We've sort of got to the point where politicians have agreed that net zero is the objective, and now he says we need a structured pathway to get there. So he's focused on the kinds of investments and the amounts of money that need to be put in, but also programs to ensure that people working in the industries that need to be phased out, and that's really the fossil fuel industries, are assisted in that process. So he's talking about a structured retraining program that companies could buy into or could apply for their workers to join, to make sure that those people are really case managed into new work. So he's talking about a less ad hoc approach, a much more structured approach, setting up a commission effectively to oversee the kinds of investments he's talking about. And really, now that we've got past the sentiment that we need to achieve net zero, this, he says, is the nuts and bolts of how we should get there. Now, it's a lot of money he's talking about. We'll see. But it seems that we at least have overcome some of the politics that got us stuck before. He's optimistic that he can now get this legislated and, you know, get a board set up for this body and start really getting the investment necessary to move into a sustainable energy future.
Okay. All right. Karen, always great to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.